We started Lent this year asking the question, where is God? In all these diverse places we visit each week in the scriptures, what is God doing? And we found some of the ways God shows up. We asked, where is God when we're in the wilderness? That was Lent 1. And we found three places. God is present within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And God is where God has already been in the story of our lives. And third, God is in the Bible, in the gift of the living Word of God. Then, in the second week of Lent, we asked, where is God in dangerous and terrifying times? We found three of the ways there as well. First, that God is doing things in the background that we have no clue are happening and that are beyond our wildest imaginings. And God is also giving a promise that one day God will heal everything and make it new. And finally, God is like the image of the mother hen, protecting and holding and comforting. Then through the parable of the fig tree, we talked about God being in bold hope and long transformations. God's patiently working through the time it takes to make all of creation new. Then we mulled over the story of the prodigal son, which gives us the heart of the gospel. God is in persistent, generous, overwhelming grace. Then last week we talked about holy ground, where God meets us in self-giving service, in community with one another, and in sacred encounters with the divine. Today, Holy Week begins with a dramatic statement, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In this story, we come across another answer to the same question. Where is God in Palm Sunday, in this triumphal entry into Jerusalem? The answer is that God is building a new kingdom founded on a different kind of authority. Authority, as we know, is the power to make decisions and enforce obedience and retain control. It's the power to control other people's behavior, to be in command and to judge and to tell people what to do. Out of everyone who ever lived, Jesus deserves to hold this authority the most. He's the Son of God. This authority is 1,000% his right. And yet, the interesting thing about Jesus is that he lays it aside at every turn. Jesus has every right to claim this authority and act out of it, but he chooses not to. This makes him puzzling and compelling, and it gets him in trouble. And it leads to this significant act that he makes in this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday is about Jesus claiming and proclaiming a different kind of authority. And Jesus embodies this new authority even as he goes to his death. And at every stage, he shows that his kingship and his power is the opposite of what a broken world says it should be. It's almost as if he's staging the anti-invasion, the anti-coronation. He flips everything over, and not just the tables, the whole way of thinking about power. Jesus still holds a kingly procession, but it's a farce. If Caesar were to ride into Jerusalem, there would be organized battalions and trumpets and perfectly trained war horses. The kingly procession for Jesus is laughable. He rides this young creature. Mark and Luke say colt, Matthew says donkey. But anyway, it's something with four legs and a mane, and it's small and it's untamed. And the people around him are boisterous and disorganized, and some of them are about to find out that they've been following the wrong Messiah. It's not noble. But their excitement builds, and they're waving and shouting and throwing cloaks and branches down. And just when it looks like it's starting to head in the right direction, to storm the temple or the palace, to start making things right, it just fizzles out. And it ends the wrong way, not with him overthrowing the invaders, but weeping over Jerusalem. Kings don't cry. Kings are not vulnerable. But Jesus is. And when he goes into the temple and throws out the money changers, it's not because he's looking for a fight. It's not to claim that space for himself, to plant his flag. It's just to grieve that here is life and they have missed it. And here also are the weak and the poor and the vulnerable, and yet the people who should be showing them God have set up a wall to keep them out. After his procession, Jesus has a coronation, but it too will be a farce. It's a crown of thorns and the purple robe they throw over him and some laughing soldiers. His coronation is tears and blood. And of course, Jesus still has a throne, but it's a cross. It's not the ultimate building up of himself. It's the deepest draining, self-giving even unto death. And within that, as John 12:32 says, Jesus says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." That's not a lofty seat of power. It's a dying embrace. Jesus' greatest glory, paradoxically, is revealed as he dies for us all. A different kind of authority, a lowly procession with no climax, thorns for a crown, an instrument of torture instead of a golden throne. Today it's set up against the way the world understands authority. And we have two kingdoms then, existing alongside each other, with different rulers, tyrants against a servant, greed beside love, war throwing grace into relief. And one of these kingdoms is fading out while the other is fading in. These two authority structures have a very long overlap. The old one is taking an agonizingly long time to die. Tyrants still rule, selfishness prevails, people still are hurt and die. And the kingdom of God beside it, traveling as it does heart to heart, growing slowly like a tree, takes a painfully long time to grow. And we don't have to look very far these days to see where the old authority structure is still very much at play. And it always leads to oppression and harm to the most vulnerable. Like an authoritarian parent and a small child. A greedy government and the people who work in the salt mines. Someone with power and an army deciding to invade his much smaller neighbor. The old order of things says that authority is strength and power and getting your way and becoming rich no matter how. But Jesus comes to show another way. A way that does not say God equals mighty, God equals powerful, God equals demanding, God equals squash you like a bug. But instead, God is humble. God is self-giving. God is descending. God crawls into the closet beside you and holds you until the monsters go away. That's why there's no army here. Just some disciples who run away. And some women who weep by his body. Because a different kind of king is leading us, not into war, but into the way of love. And of course, that looks weak. But make no mistake, that different kind of authority is the point of the arrow, the blade of the plow. It's the thing that breaks the ground, the thing that makes room for what comes behind it to grow. It's what opens the way for the kingdom of God. The kind of kingdom led by a king who is strong in love, strong in vulnerability, strong in compassion. The kind of king who chooses the least showy animal to ride on. It's an interesting thing about that colt. We read that it's never been ridden. It's unbroken. It's the opposite of Caesar's war horses. It's laughably humble. And it's exactly the kind of ride that fits a king who's doing something new and wild and untamed. A king who is about to unleash and tether a new world, founded on authority that is humble and strong enough to still be the authority we live under 2,000 years later. And ultimately, that's the reason God's call on the Christian community looks like it does. Like loving children and taking care of people who are struggling and giving of our time and our resources, our attention to worship and prayer and learning. Why, it looks like kindness and hope. Because all of these things are our cloaks scattered on the road as Jesus makes his way forward. They're the sign of us saying, I choose to live under a different authority. Even within a world that doesn't understand, I choose to live under the servant authority of Jesus, to grow Christ-like, over time to let go of all the other things that I knowingly and unknowingly follow. And it's a bold and dangerous claim, dangerous from both directions. Because it's at war with the kings and the systems that govern our world. It doesn't make sense. And it's dangerous, too, because that's a wild God riding an untamed donkey through our lives and through our world. And trusting that kind of God requires a scary leap of faith. And you might have to hang on tight to the one holding the reins. Because it's the way to life. Jesus is the way to life.